And a good afternoon. What an hour. What an hour. What an hour. And this is going to go by so quickly. Welcome to Shooting from the Hip on WHIO Radio. Guys, I tell you what, this is going to be the first day, and we're going to look back on this months down the road and say, wow, remember when we were beginning? Look at the calls. Look at the conversations. Look at the debates that we've had. This is going to be phenomenal. Let me introduce, as you're looking at your radio, ladies and gentlemen, look to your right, you'll see Jeff Pedro, and you look to your left, you see Mark Avery. Gentlemen, welcome. Let's tell people who you are, what's this hour all about. Jeff, I'm going to start with you.
Tommy, thank you very much. We're very excited about the opportunity to do this show. We think it's going to bring a new opportunity for firearms enthusiasts throughout the Miami Valley to get the truth on what's going on out there. Before we get started, there's just a couple things we want to mention. First of all, we want to thank our sponsors. Our sponsors for the show, Vandalia Tactical, located at 312 North Dixie Drive in Vandalia, Ohio. They can be reached at 264-8432. Gessner Outfitters. They can be reached on the web at GessnerOutfitters.com, 429-0517. And Steve Pearson, attorney at law, located, or he can be contacted at 299-2995. I also want to say a special thanks to our staff members, Doug G., Doug M., Carolyn, Mike, Dave, Missy, Ron, and Charlie, and also all of our loyal members and people who have taken our classes over the years to get us to the point where we just recently celebrated our fifth-year anniversary, and we're moving on to bigger and better things, and this is just a part of what's to come.
Isn't that great?
We're excited.
It just started. Mark, tell us about yourself, buddy.
Hey, I'm Mark Avery, and I've been shooting with guns since I was about 10 years old, which puts it north of 40 somewhere. And I spent 20 years in the military, but my first formal training with firearms was with Sim Trainer. And when I took my concealed carry class, that's when I learned there's a whole lot more about this than I'd known growing up and just going out to the range with my dad. I started taking all the classes that are offered and became an NRA certified instructor, and now I'm teaching these classes.
How exciting.
It's been a lot of fun.
Did you ever think that you'd be standing here behind a microphone and sharing this information with folks?
You know, that's really funny. No, that was not one of the first things on my list. But the more I've followed the Second Amendment issues and paying attention to a lot of the programs that do that on the radio, satellite radio and talk radio in general,
sure.
I thought, hey, you know, what a great way to get the word out to folks, to dispel all the myths, to correct the record where people have used really incorrect terms to describe things about the firearms, about firearms issues, about the right to carry, about concealed carry, personal protection, and all of these issues. There's no better way than to get with a group like WHIO Radio that does a great job in getting the word out.
You know, Mark, I think you're right, because I think there's a lot of gray areas, guys, that people go like, well, wait a minute, I thought I could, or somebody told me I could. And Jeff, as a police officer, a detective, you know, this could be as furthest from the truth, and that could be really dangerous, especially with a topic like this. Real quick, give us a little background on who you are, by the way.
I'm a police officer. I've been a police officer for 24 years. I opened Sim Trainer in 2004, mainly in response to the fact that as a firearms enthusiast all my life, I knew there were a lot of people out there who were interested, but there weren't a whole lot of places you could go, and there certainly wasn't any quality training available. And I think the unique perspective of 24 years of law enforcement experience, along with my shooting background and getting input from a lot of our customers at the range, it's got us to this point, because there's so much misinformation that's out there. It's just overwhelming in the media, and we just want to provide a forum to get the truth out there and to promote the sport, because it's exciting, it's safe, and it's for everybody to get involved in, and we want to give them the opportunity to do that.
And I think the word safe that you mentioned really comes with education, information, and training, because otherwise it can be a very unsafe sport for people that don't know what they're doing. They don't know the rules or the laws, or they don't know how to handle a firearm.
Exactly. Firearm safety is first and foremost. If you're going to enjoy the sport, you have to follow the rules. You have to be brought up with an acceptable protocol in place, and people have to understand that there's certain safe ways of handling guns, and you follow those rules each and every time. And when you do that, you minimize, if not totally eliminate, the potential for any accidents or any negative publicity to fall on your sport. And now, that's what we promote.
Okay, and we're going to encourage people to call in at 457-1290. Even though this is the debut show, people may hear something they want to comment in favor, or, you know, they may want to challenge you on something. We welcome that type of call because, again, the purpose of this is to make sure that they can educate you so that you are a knowledgeable consumer, whether you're going to purchase a firearm or you have firearms, how maybe to best utilize them, especially if you have kids, or if you're going to take it out somewhere, or how do you carry, or whatever the case may be. So really, and that's really kind of what this show is, the purpose is to provide a forum, you know, firearms, shooting enthusiasts, civilians interested in self-defense and personal safety. So first things first, guys, I'm a consumer, and I'm going, okay, you know, I think I could maybe handle a firearm. What's the first thing you would tell me if I come up to you and go, I've never shot a firearm before in my life, I have no clue what to buy, what are you guys going to maybe recommend?
I don't need
a brand name as much as you're going to educate me.
Well, I think the best thing that you can do is to get a good firearms course to start with. Don't go out and just buy a gun. Don't just go out to the gun show and find whatever somebody's going to sell you, because they'll sell you whatever you'll buy, but that may not be what you want or what you need or what will meet what it is that you're trying to do with that. We have a great program called First Shots. It's sponsored by the National Shooting Sports Foundation, and we run a class at least once a month, sometimes more often than that. In fact, we've got one this afternoon. It's an introductory class. It's only about 3 hours. We provide everything that you need, the guns, the ammunition, targets, instruction. We spend a little bit of time in the classroom, and then we go out into the range, very fully supervised with instructors, so that people can get an idea of what this gun thing is all about. And that really blows the myths away.
Yeah, let me, do people sometimes, guys, when they first fire this weapon a couple of times, they go, you know what, I got second thoughts. I don't think this is really for me.
Actually, there's people that do that, but quite frankly, it's the exact opposite. Most of the people have the opinion that, oh my goodness, this is a traumatic situation, and they go the opposite way. They're like, it wasn't so bad after all. Now what do I need to do to get involved in the sport? And in addition to the First Shots program, I want to mention the we offer private lessons, which a lot of our members get started in, because it gives them an opportunity to get some one-on-one instruction with an firearms instructor, so that we can go over a variety of the topics, everything from safety to weapon selection to the parts of a gun to how it's going to work. And we take them through to a minimum level of proficiency in a relatively short period of time.
The whole thing's coming to the key word, guys, education or information. Absolutely. I'm going to grab a quick phone call here. Tiffany's on the line from Dayton. Tiffany, welcome. You got Mark and Jeff here. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, I was kind of asking about what you're talking about, the classes.
Okay, and stay close to your telephone.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, go ahead.
All right. I have never shot a gun. I've always been around guns. And I wanted to take some classes, mainly to get a gun just for the protection of my home.
Okay, Tiffany. All right, guys, go ahead.
Tiffany, I think you'd be a perfect candidate for our First Shots program.
Okay.
It's a program where you come in for, like Mark said, 3 hours, where you're going to come in the first hour we're going to talk about basic functional operation, range safety, firearm safety. Then we're going to take you out on the range under the direct supervision of an instructor and teach you how to shoot the gun, how to load the gun, how to handle the gun, and give you a very positive experience in a structured environment.
Now, real quick, though, Tiffany, how old are you?
I'm 27.
Okay, 27. Is there an age, guys, if all of a sudden I brought my 17-year-old daughter in, are you guys going to go, hey, Tommy, wait, we can't do that?
Well, let me just tell you, Tommy, on the low end, we've handled kids as young as 6. We typically shut the First Shots program off 10 years old, but if they're a big child that can handle the firearm, we will take that on a case-by-case basis, and all the way up to 80, and everybody in between.
Now, what are the phone numbers to the facility? And
the best way to get the information is to contact or visit our website at www.sim-trainer.com. That's sim-trainer.com.
Okay.
Or call us at 937-293-3914, and they'll give you information on the First Shots program, and that would be a great way for you to get started, Tiffany.
All right, that sounds like a great... Thank you so much, Tiffany, for calling WHIO Radio. Jimmy, we're going to go ahead and do this first break, and then we're going to come back. We got a couple other calls, and then I want to learn more about who can and who shouldn't. This is Shooting from the Hip, debut show on WHIO. And welcome back to the debut show, Shooting from the Hip, here on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO. We have with us Jeff Pedro as well as Mark Avery from Sim Training. These guys are all about, and I'm going to use the term, firearms, guns, you know, and real quick, because I've got a call here. Mark, I'm going to throw this to you, and I think this is a great call from Urbana. Kurt, you're on the line. I want you to go ahead and ask your question of Mark or your statement.
Yes, sir. You folks kept referring to it as being a weapon, and should it not actually be considered a firearm? A baseball bat could be considered a weapon, or a golf club if that's the case.
Sure, that's you're absolutely right. The weapon term is one that we use kind of interchangeably. Jeff, being a police officer, deals with that on a routine basis, and that's basically how they refer to them. The NRA position is that when you're teaching a class that's an NRA class, you need to use the term firearm or gun or handgun or pistol as opposed to the term weapon. And the term weapon scares a lot of people. They don't really like to think that they would ever need a weapon to defend themselves. But the truth is, there's only two places where you might be attacked, and that would be in your home or not in your home. And so having a weapon available for personal defense is certainly a valid thing. I agree with you that a baseball bat could also be used as a weapon and as a golf club and any other blunt object. The advantage, of course, of a firearm is that it operates at a distance and you don't have to get that close if there's an attack.
Kurt, that's a great statement, buddy. I mean, I appreciate you. Now, let me ask you. We don't know who you are. You don't know who we are. Do you own a firearm?
Oh, do I own a firearm?
Okay, am I opening up a box here? Do you have more than one?
No, I'm very pro-gun. I'm an NRA instructor as well.
You are?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and real quick, how did you get into it?
Years ago, I used to shoot a pistol match called Second Chance up in Michigan, where we shot bowling pins, but I've been shooting at least 30 years now.
How important is it, Kurt, that people get educated and take instruction before they purchase a firearm?
Always.
Always.
Bar none, go to somebody that knows what they're talking, shoot a variety of firearms, such as what you folks are offering.
All right, and that's what I want to hear, because, again, you're an unsolicited call. Kurt, thanks so much, and I appreciate you tuning in today.
Hey, fellas, good luck, and I'll be listening from here on in.
Thank you.
Kurt. All right, Kurt from Urbana, there you go. And that's an unsolicited call, and really, because we've got a couple of them here, and, you know, and there's a word that I'm going to bring up with the next caller is concealed carry. Now, that, I think, guys, is a term that sometimes is really kind of a gray. What does that mean? And Phil, you're in Preble County. Thanks for tuning in to WHIR Radio. Go ahead and throw out your statement or your question for these gentlemen.
Thank you. Out here in Preble County, we have a gentleman that's going to concealed carry, and it's called the Utah Quickie. What can you tell me about that?
There's a lot of people out there that are doing classes that will provide certification for you to carry in other states, and then ultimately, presumably, provide you the option to have reciprocity with additional states that Ohio doesn't allow you to carry in. There's just one thing I just want to caution you about. I want to make sure that if you're a resident of Ohio, you should, and it's my advice that you should get the Ohio permit first before you go anywhere else, because you are an Ohio resident. If you opt to go for other permits such as Florida and Utah and things of that nature, you're going to just have to have that as a prerequisite, because Ohio is your home state. And that is an issue that comes up quite frequently. And the term reciprocity is nothing more than a fancy word for agreements between states accepting the laws related to concealed carry in one state with that home state. In other words, Ohio has reciprocity agreements with states like West Virginia and Kentucky, whereby those states recognize our concealed carry laws and we recognize their concealed carry laws.
Right.
One thing about the Utah license is that they require all of the instructors that teach a class, in order to get a Utah license, the instructors have to be certified by Utah, and they have to teach according to the Utah standards. So I'm not sure what a Utah quickie would be, unless they're finding a way to maybe consolidate that with the Ohio class and not have to add a full second class for the Utah class. But you have to be certified by Utah to teach the Utah class.
Right, and he's been out to Utah to be certified. Yeah, and it's just a 4-hour class with no shooting time.
Yeah, well, and again, the courses vary from state to state as to what they ultimately require. But one thing I want to caution the listeners about is that there's people who are trying to shortcut the process. They say things like, well, I only have to take that four-hour course, and then I can get reciprocity with a lot of states, including Utah. Well, legally, it's going to be to your advantage to get the Ohio permit first and then expand out from there and make sure that the courses that you take meet all of the requisite requirements.
Right.
Meaning you're going to have to get
He offers that as well.
That's okay. Fine.
Phil, are you already a firearm owner?
Please? Oh, yeah, several.
Okay. And what's your thoughts about education, making sure everybody knows what they're doing? Or are you comfortable people buying a firearm without it?
Without education?
Correct.
Well, I mean, our Second Amendment, I guess, says we can, but we do need to have the education. They need to have it in school. I think the majority of these kids that get shot are shot with semi-automatics because they think if you take the magazine out that it's empty.
Very good point.
And if they were taught and educated, they would know better.
Yeah, I think you're right. Phil, thank you so much. And he brought up a good topic about you know, the Utah situation. And I think, real quick, because we've only got about 2.5 minutes, I real quickly want to go to Brian in Dayton. For Jeff, all right, go ahead, Brian. Brian, are you there? Yep, go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead, sir.
Yes, thanks, guys, for taking my call.
You're welcome. Go ahead, Brian.
Jeff, I got a question for you about the concealed carry law.
Go ahead.
A little vague on the part, can you carry a concealed weapon with a license in a vehicle if there's a child in the vehicle?
Yes, absolutely you can.
Okay, and there's no age restriction on that?
No, there's not.
Okay.
I think where the question has come up is in the last change to the law, one of the initial proposals limited whether or not you could carry concealed while you're in your car if you had a child in the vehicle at the time. That
right.
never made it into law. That was something that was proposed actually a couple of changes ago when the Buckeye Tuck went away and you could then carry concealed, but they were going to restrict it only if you didn't have children in the car, and that never made it into law because it really wasn't a very good idea.
Does that help out?
Yes, it does. And one other thing about the last caller was talking about education. I firmly believe that anybody who buys a gun should be educated. I mean, I was always taught, even though somebody hands you an unloaded weapon that they've unloaded in front of you, you also check it as soon as they hand it to you.
Absolutely. First rule of gun safety.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Excellent. All right, Brian, thank you so much. Again, a good call. We've only got about 30 seconds before we got to go to news here at the bottom of the hour. And then we're going to come back. We're going to take your calls. Right now, there's one line open. I want you to call in at 457-1290. You are listening to Shooting from the Hip on WHIO Radio. And welcome back to Shooting from the Hip. Wow, what a first hour is already getting underway. We are half hour into it. Mark Avery, Jeff Pedro. Jeff, you want to talk about something? I think that we need to make sure that we are doing our due diligence here. Go ahead.
Exactly. The last caller brought up a very critical point. He talked about the serious responsibility of owning a gun, potentially using a gun for self-defense, and I just can't emphasize enough that our courses, our orientation at SimTrain are focused directly on that. It's not about shooting bullets in most of our courses. That's the easy part. Mark and I and the members of our staff, we can teach anybody to shoot bullets, but the more critical part is the serious responsibility that goes along with gun ownership, carrying a gun for personal safety, and ultimately owning a gun. There's nothing mystifying about it. It just comes down to learning what's right and practicing what's right and being diligent day in and day out about that topic. But that's what I want to emphasize, that at SimTrainer, that's the focus, the serious responsibility and the training that goes along with the total process.
Okay, so personal responsibility, being aware, I guess before we go to the call, Jeff, I'm just going to ask you, as an officer, if you pull me over for whatever reason, I've got a headlight out, something's wrong, how important is it for you, or is it part of the training, guys, that I let you know immediately that I have a firearm in my vehicle?
Absolutely. If you're a concealed carry permit holder, you're required to notify the police officer that you have a permit and that you have a firearm with you, and then you ask what he wants you to do. Keep your hands in plain sight.
Yeah.
And as a police officer, that's a courtesy that we want citizens to extend to us. And here's what's interesting about that. Quite frankly, it's the law-abiding citizens. We're not too much worried about them because we know initially it's the bad guys who don't do that, that as a police officer, we approach every traffic stop with equal diligence. We want to make sure that we're safe and at all times. So it's the law-abiding citizens don't really give us too much of a concern. It's the lawbreakers that we're concerned about.
Of course, but at the same time, you don't know who they are until you approach, and you right. certainly, and again, this alleviates or at least reduces the opportunity for something to
That's
go
exactly
awry
right.
because there's a communication
factor. Exactly right.
And speaking of that, we've got a couple of phone lines here that that dropped off, and we're taking your calls at 457-1290. I'm going to go to Mike up in Tip City. Mike, you've got a question for Mark and for Jeff. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, guys. What I would like to ask is... I was going to take a class, CCW class. We went to the gun show, and my friend and I could purchase a gun. I signed up for it, and I got turned down. He went ahead and purchased another gun, and I used that for the concealed weapons classes. Now, the strength of the trigger pull made it very hard to shoot the gun accurately because I guess it was 16-4, 9-4, whatever, something like that, which made it very hard. And people need to know that before they purchase a gun, how they use the gun, the strength of the trigger pull, what kind of gun you need to use. And okay. I have one other question.
Go ahead.
Also, I took my CCW classes, and I do have my license for that. Problem is, for some reason, they say I cannot buy a gun. I filed the correct paperwork with that, and... they came back saying that if I did time in jail, and I've never did any time in jail, so I don't know if somebody stole my ID, identity, something like that, so I don't know.
Well, I think what you're going to have to do is get a hold of an attorney that can look into this for you. I will recommend Steve Pearson to you, one of our sponsors for the show, because he specializes in this area of law. But
right.
you can certainly get an attorney and have them look into it for you, because there's something somewhere that it could be an oversight, it could be a mistake, but if there's something there that even you're not aware of, you need to find out. An attorney is going to have to dig into that for you.
Okay, there's no paperwork that I can talk to. Like I said, I did file it. They had said I've got to jump through some hoops to try to get to the bottom of it.
I think your best result is going to come from having an attorney look into it for you. I know that that's going to be a potentially costly venture, but that can
right.
get it cleared up.
Real quick here, Jeff, do you have this attorney's phone number
yes.
that we can, just in case this gentleman could write it down or someone else?
Absolutely. Steve Pearson, attorney at law, 299-2995.
Okay, 299-9995.
No. 299-2995.
Okay, 2995. Okay, thank you so much. And like I said, also with the gravity of the, the strength of the trigger pull.
Yeah, the issue there is, and that's the other advantage to training, there's a big difference between semi-automatic pistols and revolvers, and that's where the training will benefit you if you get to a class and they give you the opportunity to try both to see what's best for you.
All right, thank you so much for that call. That was an interesting call. Sometimes people have issues, and checking in the paperwork, make sure it's filed correctly, or if not, then you may have to get legal advice to make sure that it's done correctly. There's always questions about using a firearm for self-defense. Let's go to Springboro. Jen, are you there?
Yes.
All right, Jen, thank you so much for holding. You have a question for Mark and for Jeff. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey. I have been coming to Sim Trainer for a couple of months, and I started in March, had never held a gun before. And you taught me really well. I probably have about 90% accuracy now. And my question is, if I'm in my home and someone comes into my home, what do I need to think about to legally shoot them and to not have legal ramifications afterwards?
Excellent question.
Well, I think the biggest thing, Jen, you need to understand that the law requires you to have a reasonable personal belief that your life or someone else's life is in imminent jeopardy. Now, the term imminent jeopardy is what gets cloudy at times, but basically when you reasonably believe that something bad is going to happen to you, either death or serious bodily harm, if you don't take action. And in your case, being a female, middle of the night, all of a sudden you hear glass break, you go get your gun. You see an intruder in the house, I think it's very reasonable for you to have that belief that your life or someone else's life is in jeopardy.
One of the great things that happened with the change, the last change to the law that took effect in September, is that if that situation occurs and you need to defend yourself in your own home, you no longer have to prove that it was self-defense. That's the way it was in Ohio until the 9th of September when that law went into effect. Now, if you're in your own home, you still have to have a reasonable and honest fear of grave bodily harm or death. And, of course, you can't have caused it. If somebody breaks into your home, that's clearly not the case. But now, even though you still have to have those conditions, you no longer have to prove that it was self-defense. It's a rebuttable assumption that it was self-defense if you're in your own home or in a family car. So now the prosecutor would have to have a clear and convincing case beyond a reasonable doubt that it was not self-defense in order for you to have to go through that. So although you'll still have legal issues and you'll still have most likely need to hire an attorney, the chances of you ending with something bad on your record would be pretty slim.
Now, Jen, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
This situation occurs, and you are scared to death because this glass breaks. How confident are you, and you got to think about this, just don't say it blindly, that you're going to pick that gun up out of the drawer or wherever you've got it secured, and you're going to point that gun at a human being, and you're going to pull the trigger?
How confident am I that I can do that?
How confident are you that you can sit there, point that at a human being, and you're going to be able to pull the trigger?
I am 100% confident. And the reason that I am 100% confident is because I have been taught so well how to handle my firearm, how to be safe with it, and how to accurately shoot.
Okay, so then and I'm going to take it to the second part of my question I'm thinking of. As a female, how important is it for you to share with your friends, other females, you know what, I feel confident that I have and own a firearm, that I've been trained, I suggest that you, as another female, do the same. Do you do that?
Absolutely.
And what type of feedback do you get?
Well, sometimes at first I might get a little bit of fear or people telling me that I'm paranoid. However, I have been in a situation of a home invasion, and I am completely confident with my ability to use my firearm and to protect myself and to protect my two children. I have two girls, and I now cannot believe that I did not get a weapon sooner in my life and that I was not trained earlier to protect myself and my family.
I want to bring up just one other point that we make as a point of emphasis in class is this whole concept of mental preparation for confrontation. We emphasize to people, like I said earlier, it's easy to shoot, to teach people to shoot bullets out of guns, but it's not easy to take them through the process mentally of what they're going to go through before, during, and then after, and we explain how they've got to start thinking about that now. We call it mental preparation for confrontation, and there's lots of ways they could do that, and we just open avenues for them to pursue that issue.
Excellent. All right. Thank you so much, Jen, for your call today.
Thanks.
All right. Wow, guys. I mean, and bear with me for asking these questions because, I mean, I'm thinking females. You know, sometimes that's a whole different dealio, and I just want to make sure that people realize it's not just for guys.
That's right.
And you mentioned kids.
Yep.
I want to talk more about that as well, and we'll take more of your calls at 457-1290. Jimmy's going to take us into break, and then we'll come back. It is Shooting from the Hip, the debut show on News Talk Radio, WHIO. It is 13 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock, 64 degrees, the Miami Valley. Welcome to the debut show, Shooting from the Hip. It's our Ask the Expert weekend on News Talk Radio, WHIO, AM 1290, and, of course, 95.7 FM. Gentlemen, this has already been a bevy of calls. I know we've got tons of things that we want to talk about, but let's remind people who you are. This is Sim Trainer is the name of the company, but it's not just about you guys doing an infomercial. It's far from that. It's really you guys taking a stand to make sure that the general public has good education and understanding about firearms, firearm safety, training. I mean, eventually down the road, get into purchasing firearms and what they look at and what the law and legal. Matter of fact, Mark, can I go to the... Okay,
sure.
I'm going to go to a call here from Springfield. Brent, are you online with us?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, Brent, you've got Mark and you've got Jeff listening. Go ahead with your questions, sir, please.
Well, you got an interesting program, and there's a lot of questions I'd like to ask, but the biggest one I want to bring up is House Bill 42, which President Obama and our good old Speaker of the House, Pelosi, are trying to push through, and not even the police departments know about this. What it's going to do, if it passes, it will require every gun to be licensed and registered. It will open a door for anyone who is registered to have a random psychological evaluation from the state. I have to give them a list of medications you're on. The list is overwhelming.
Yeah, Brent, I think this is probably H.R. 45, the Blair Holt bill. Is that the one that you're talking about? The Blair Holt bill is...
It is Blair Holt. You're okay. Right.
All right. H.R. 45 is another iteration by Bobby Rush, a U.S. representative from Illinois. He has put this bill in several times. This is by no means the first time that this bill has been in. He was quoted back in 1999 saying he was going to do this same thing. The difference is that there's a lot of people that think that with the change in politics and the change in leadership in both the House and the Senate, as well as in the White House, people think that there's going to be a lot more of this stuff going on. The status on that bill right now is that there are no sponsors for that bill at all. There's not anybody in the House that has signed up with Bobby Rush to go support that bill. It's currently in subcommittee. Chances of it getting out of subcommittee are about zero. And although what you've described in the things that it would do if it ever got passed, they're bad things. And it would be horrible for gun owners and for the freedom in this country if that bill ever got passed. But the chances of it getting passed are like zero. Now, the real problem with that bill is that a lot of people are focusing on that bill. There's been email that's gone out repeatedly throughout the gun community talking about that bill and the terrible things it would do. The problem is if everybody is focused on that bill, something else might come up that we miss that would be less terrible, but still an infringement of your right to keep and bear arms in the way that we have been accustomed to.
I want to mention to the listeners that issues like this are one of the main reasons we're on the radio.
Absolutely.
Because we're going to keep up to date on these kinds of issues and keep you updated as to the progress and encourage you to write to your congressman and express opposition to this kind of legislation, which would be very damaging to the gun right advocates.
All right, Brent. Excellent. I'm glad you called in, Brent, because you brought to light something that I wasn't even aware of.
Well, I appreciate what you guys are doing, but I just want one thing about your CW classes. I recently went through one, and there were over 122 students in that class. We had two range times, and the class was rushed so much. In fact, the first relay of shooters, one of the girls had a ricochet back into her cheek from a .22 round.
Let me just say one thing, that was not our class, because okay. We never have more than 20 in a class.
Okay.
So,
right.
And
yeah, that wasn't our class. We have an indoor range where we restrict it to 20 people because we only have 10 firing points. So I don't know where you went, but I guarantee it wasn't at Sim Trainer, and we would certainly advocate against that kind of a class structure. And you can rest assured at Sim Trainer, firearm safety, range safety is first and foremost on our minds, and we would never put anybody in that kind of
predicament. But that's still a good though question, because maybe sure. There are, you know, other opportunities where people can learn, and maybe one value over another. So again, and again, we haven't even talked about this for this hour, that you try and maintain a very small class. So you're getting more effective training from a particular individual instructor. Plus, there's greater control.
Yeah, the personalized instruction is key, but also the safety issue is critical. We absolutely have to maintain control, so we minimize, if not totally eliminate, the chance of an accident. But then the big issue is there's people with varying levels of firearms proficiency when they come to the class, and obviously when you have a small class, you can spend more individualized attention bringing each student up to a minimum level of competency to pass the firearms qualification.
Excellent. Okay, let's go to Dayton. Somebody else, we'll kind of stay with it on classes. Is it Jamal? Is that correct? Hello? Are you there, ma'am? Okay, Jimmy, I'm going to put her back on hold, and I'm going to let you see if you can find out where she's at. That's right, no big deal. And let's go up to Randy in Tip City. You want to comment on education for these gentlemen. Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, I was listening to some comments made by some people. I've lived in three different states, and I've got three different concealed weapons licenses. And the training I got in Florida was by far the best. And Ohio and Kentucky are the other two states, and I just wanted to say that I don't think the training kind of met my expectations, and people that go through these things, I think, need to be more than just go through the initial training, but they need to get to the point where they're absolutely proficient and comfortable with carrying and firing a gun.
And Randy, I think you're right, because Jeff was just talking about this. It is much more than just firing the gun, Jeff.
Also, the unfortunate reality is that there's a lot of people out there that are doing what we call assembly line training. They're just running people through, taking their money and passing them on with a certificate. That's not the case at Sim Trainer. We take it very serious. We tell the people the first day that we realize that within a month of getting their permit, they could be involved in a situation where they'd have to defend their lives using their firearm. And we want them to develop a minimum level of competency so that they would feel comfortable doing that and then would be successful ultimately in carrying that out. So it is very critical, and the state sets minimum standards, and it's up to each individual training entity to add on to those minimum standards. And I assure you at Sim Trainer, we add way more than the minimum, and we put the focus on the individual making sure they're competent.
And I think that's what Randy's trying to, I think Randy, if I can help you out here to bring your point, is you want to make sure that there is additional or very thorough training. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay.
Right. Even though I think you guys might do a great job in your training, there are so many people out there that are just trying to get people through quick so they can make money. And it's up to the people who are taking the classes to search out a good one, and even if it's 15 or 20 hours versus a few less hours somewhere else or a cheaper price, it would really benefit.
Excellent.
The longer class, the more thorough class.
And you said you're a multi-firearm user. Is that correct? You have a number of firearms?
Oh, yeah.
And
I've been shooting for about 25 years.
About 25 years.
A lot of experience.
All right, so if a young person comes up to you, Randy, and you're talking to him, and the conversation just happens to go to firearms, what are you going to recommend to them from the classes? How are you going to tell them the value of what you've learned?
Well, okay, I owned a firearm store in Florida for a while, and I had a lot of customers who brought that up. And the first thing I would tell them is to find a friend who has a lot of experience and go out and shoot with them for a while, see what kind of gun you like, what caliber you like, get a lot of experience, and then go to the class after that.
Okay. All right. Excellent.
Very good advice.
Yeah, that is. All right, Randy, thank you so much for calling. Guys, we've got like less than 4 minutes left, and I'm going to try and take one more quick call, and I'm going to go to Kim in Dayton. Kim, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, you have a class comment for these gentlemen. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I do. I comment, first of all, I am just so glad that we have a show now that we can talk about concealed firearms, the carrying, and just firearms, period. But my comment is, me being a female, I am very much in favor of concealed carry. And I think that every female should get out there and actually go take the classes and actually really get familiar with their firearm and get as much training as they can. When I went out to was thinking about getting a firearm, I talked to several police officers. I talked to people who owned gun stores, and they told me to just go around and hold guns and actually, fit them in my hand, and that would tell me which gun really that I was comfortable with. I did that, picked out the 9mm that I was comfortable with, took the class. I had excellent training. My instructor was excellent, and I really highly recommend that people go out and actually get these their firearm certificates and the concealed carry certificates, because there's so many crazies out there.
Yeah, and real quick, Kim, I think you brought up something that I want to ask Jeff here real quick for a moment, because I think Kim said something about getting comfortable with a gun. Is that part of what you try and do at Sim Trainers? How do you get people to figure out what's the best weapon, or I should say firearm, for them?
It's through personal experience, and we tell them that we want them to get so comfortable with the gun that the functional operation, they're so aware of it that it's literally an extension of their hand. They don't have to think about the functional operation. That's through initial training and ultimately through practice.
All right, we've got about a minute and a half left. Kim, thank you so much for calling News Talk Radio WHIO. Guys, all right, next week, it's just going to, you know what, it's going to keep building week after week. What can we share with the folks that they should be thinking about? And maybe what we can talk about next week here, guys.
I think this was a great launch pad for the show, and I want to mention next week that we're going to do everything in our power. Mark's going to be out the NRA annual meetings, and we're going to try to run down some of the manufacturers to find out what are some of the issues surrounding the shortages. I also want to take this opportunity now to, again, thank Vandalia Tactical, Gessner Outfitters, and Steve Pearson, attorney at law, for their sponsorship of this great program and the excitement that's to follow.
Well, Mark, you ready for this, buddy? And you're going to call us maybe from Phoenix or
that's
get to
the
get
plan.
Us-
I'll be out in Phoenix on the floor of the NRA annual meeting, and we'll see if we can maybe get some interviews with folks that really know what's going on.
Okay, so it's not just Miami Valley based. You're going to bring us stuff from all over the country.
Absolutely.
That's what it's all about. Okay, we invite you to join us again next week. It is Shooting from the Hip. I'm Tommy Collins. Thanks, guys, for being part of this.
Thanks,
is going to be
Tommy.
A great. Hey, we're jazzed. Glad to have you on board. All right, you've been listening to Ask the Expert Weekend. I'm Tommy Collins, AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.